Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, May the 5th of 2020. And, of course, speaking of May the 5th, that means, of course, happy Cinco de Mayo. If that Mexican celebration is your thing. Personally, to me, when it comes to Mexican, I like basically a good burrito that has meat and cheese on it, specifically melted cheese. Sometimes the liquid cheese is some of the best, isn't it? Yeah. It is. It really is. That really good. And I know some people like to try to tell me, you know, the liquid cheese is fake. I don't think so. I like the nice liquid cheese. It's nice and creamy. And Velveeta as well. Very good. Whether it's on the pasta. Have you ever had Velveeta on tacos?
What? Velveeta on tacos?
Yeah. That Velveeta stuff is only for pasta. The different types of cheese, you've had some of that, like, where it's part regular and part liquid. That kind of melty cheese. You know what I'm talking about, right? Or like, I'm not sure how else I would describe it, but that's how I like them with the different things in them. Not usually too much of a spicy person, unless it's breaded, because who doesn't like it breaded, right? What do you mean, probably? That's just how you are, too? because I know, personally, that's how I am. Like, grilled buffalo chicken, for example, I like regular grilled chicken, or like barbecue grilled chicken, or baked chicken, or whatever, but buffalo, I'd rather it be breaded. Like the chicken slider from Arby's, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, that it is. I remember when they had the Buffalo Ranch McChickens. I used to get them all the time years ago, back when we had a McDonald's inside of the mall food court. I used to get that one a lot. It had the buffalo with ranch on it. It wasn't super spicy. You liked that one a lot too, didn't you? Why didn't you like it that much? What was wrong with it? Thought it was maybe a little too what? Maybe not. I don't know. Because I didn't think it was that spicy, though. But, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty close to my limit. But, of course, I always had the Coca-Cola right beside me to rescue me. I always did. Yeah. I don't know what you would call it, search and rescue or something and rescue, find and rescue maybe, if you know what I mean. Yeah, that means, that, in my mind, that would mean basically you get the sandwich that's kind of spicy, but then you have the Coca-Cola right beside you to rescue you if it gets to be too much. sometimes the salt from the fries can kind of rescue too, I feel like, so. Because that way it's not getting to be too much. And the spice wasn't overly intense, but a lot of things that are labeled like fiery spicy, I don't like it that much. Because then a lot of those rescues don't work as well. The water, the Coke, or the water may work, but you have to drink extra, 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 extra of it. And you can't just do it with like one glass. But anyhow, listeners, so glad to be with you on May 5th. Regardless of whether you're Mexican or whether you do the Cinco de Mayo thing or not. In my mind, May 5th, it's another day. Like, it's not the most important day in the world to me. But now, I want to talk to you briefly about Mother's Day. I know there are things that have been going on. Been dealing with that a bit, along with reading the Bible, and all that. But I want to talk to you about Mother's Day. You see, Mother's Day is coming up Sunday. I want to encourage you. Get your mom something. At the very least, call her on Sunday, at the very least. Don't just, forget about her, be so distant to where you don't call her on Mother's Day. Because after all, she brought you into the world. Not your dad, not your grandma, not your grandpa. She did. And maybe you've heard this joke, don't it? Maybe not. And what it is I brought you into the world and I can take you right back out. Have you heard that before? I think it's kind of funny, don't you? Yep, I brought you in and I can take you right back out. And I know I think it's kind of funny, but. All those times your mom nagged you, to wash your hands, put on your coat, brush your teeth, don't jump on the bed because it's not gymnastic equipment. All the time she took you to Chick-fil-A, not up here, I wish. I mean, McDonald's or Subway before soccer practice. All the time she read you the Bible. All the times that she tried to encourage you. Because it shouldn't just all be stuff that you're forced to do when you're younger and she tells you better do this. Some of it, hopefully there's some advice that you can learn from her. And even now, at my age, I'll still hear little nuggets of advice from my mom and I'll think about them and from the youth. And most people, I would hope, could tell you the same thing. And she's been a blessing to me. In a lot of different ways. And of course, even though we have differences, but in other ways, it's funny how alike we are. It really is. And you know, and so, by the way, to all you dads out there that are listening, I'm not trying to give you any less credit by any means, but this is Mother's Day coming up. Dads, you'll get your time in a few weeks. But, you know, she taught you to eat your vegetables. She taught you that beds are not trampolines. If you've heard her say it once, you've heard her say it 1,000 times. So, why not do something for the one that brought you into the world? And I know this year, sadly, we can't do the brunch. I'm honestly very sad about that. I am extremely saddened at how far our officials went. And I feel like all of them should know better, every one of them. And all this thing about the new normal, I reject it because I believe God is going to do something. And about Mother's Day, get her flowers, get her a card, talk to her, go to her house. Maybe she can come to your house. By all means, do. It's not last I checked, the police wouldn't go to your house. Hope not. I mean, there's only so much they can do, but at least get her something. Let her know you love her. Let her know she means a lot to you. And, you know, to thank her for what all she's done for you over your lifetime. And if you've lost your mom, just remember everything she did for you, everything she taught you. The natural lessons, the spiritual lessons. Because even though the dad is to be the spiritual leader, that doesn't mean that mom doesn't get to have a part in it by any means. Absolutely not. Because the moms are important. And in a lot of cases, our moms, whether you're single or not, whether you grew up in a single parent home or not, obviously in single mother homes this is true, but even if you grew up in a two parent family, I won't say all the time, but I will say much of the time. You want to know why there's stuff in the fridge? Why there's stuff made in the cupboards? By made, I mean, I'm not talking about the snacks, I'm talking about prepared stuff, like whatever it was. A lot of the time, I didn't say all, I said a lot, your mother made it. And a lot of times, want to wash those clothes? Your mother did it. And on top of all that, and I know, you can think about all the times your mom screamed at you because you got your pants dirty, you know. One time, we lived out in the country, and I was out playing in the yard, got myself all muddy, scraped my leg, might have got my pants dirty. You say, well, Miracle Man, did your mom yell at you that time? Well, maybe for a second. Maybe. Or maybe not at all. But I remember the house I went, warm bath, cleaned up. She was not She was not yelling at me or talking to me how ashamed it was that I got dirty by any means while I was in that tub. Because she was loving on me and washing me up. Plus, I was a little kid out there playing around. When I think about that, that's what God, Jesus wants to do with us. Took our feet out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And sin is like that muck and mire, like that stuff that I got all dirty in. Scraped my knee up a little bit. And Jesus, like, he gives you that nice warm bath. Like my mom did, and washed my leg all off, nice and clean, and put on me some clean clothing. Why did she do that? Because she loved me. Enough. Not to just let me suffer and let me stay with my leg all a bit scraped. And so many of you have had moments like that, maybe, depending on how old you were at the time, you know. And sometimes we talk about this thing of mama's boy or father's daughter, or whatever. You say, "What were you?" I will say I love my mom. I love my dad, too. But, you know, should be thankful for your mom. And if she did something, maybe when you were younger, something that you really didn't like, don't be scarred over it for life. Forgive them. Don't just hold that grudge. Because if you're holding grudge, you're hurting yourself. I'll talk to you again about this tomorrow, but this was on my heart today. I was thinking about it. And it made me think. And I knew Mother's Day was only 5 days away, but I realized even more about that. And I just started to think. And I was thinking about this when I was getting ready for tonight, and I was thinking, you said nothing about Mother's Day so far. And I was like, okay. And then, so while I was taking these few minutes to talk to you about that, about Mother's Day. And do something nice for your mother. Talk to them, call them, go see them. So, and I'm about to say something that I hope I don't get in trouble for. If you see them, hug them. Not from 6 feet apart either. Now, me and my mom, we tease about the social distancing thing, and we say that our social distancing means that we're actually hugging each other right next to each other. Oh, yeah. One time I was in a Meijer store down there in Auburn Hills. They're making the announcement, that silly announcement about, you know, social distance. And no one, right when you said social distance, I give my mom a hug right there. And I'm like, see? You did. And so, just had to get that off my chest. You know, you love her. You care of her. And pray over her, please. And so, just wanted to let you know, Mother's Day's coming up. And make her proud. And especially if you were raised a Christian, thank her for raising you right. And of course, for all the cool stuff she gave you. Because most of us have that time. We're like, out of my mind. You had that, I'm sure, before, right? You with your mom. You know, this is like, my mom, she's gonna. And then other times she's like, you're like, oh, cool mom. Yeah, who doesn't have that? We all have some of both, guaranteed. And sometimes you can have both on the same day. Sometimes you can have both in the same moment. Oh, really? We get to do that? It's like, but you don't get to. You had the same thing happen to you before, too, haven't you? And then it's like, all to dash you home. But anyhow, love on your parent, your mom. Mother's Day. After all, she brought you into the world. So, Lord, I thank you for all the moms who are listening to the show tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless them. May their children rise up and call them blessed. May their moms just be so blessed because they got a call, because their children made them a meal or something, or maybe they got them a gift card or something. Maybe they got them, I don't know. I just thank you, Lord God, for the parent, for moms, for the moms who are listening to this show, and that they would be blessed, and that you're blessing them for who they are to the kingdom of God. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. And now, Lord, I take authority right now, and I curse this coronavirus right now. I pray that it would die right now and fall, and that you would move and I take and I pray and I curse Korah and stupid, the spirits behind a lot of this hysteria, behind this hysteria and fear. And I bless you, Lord. Thank you for our leaders. Thank you for the economy. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you to please tell others how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in. If you want to talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener, and we'll talk, and hopefully we can have some great callers tonight. All right. Now, I'm going to sing a couple of songs tonight. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day, your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no. The wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. Oh no. The castle is far too wide, but I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. And there may be pain in the night, But joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. And, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Hallelujah. Ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I saw the Lord seated on his throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high. And the train of his robe, it filled the temple, and the angels circled round him and cried, "You above all names. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done, for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you that your hand is upon us. You're leading us and guiding us as we walk through this thing called life. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us. And I give you permission, Lord God, to interrupt me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for your word that we're going to study here for the next few minutes. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would have your way with us tonight. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory. And I make my confession over this program tonight. Thank you that sponsors and partners come in. I thank you that increases in listenership come into this show. I thank you that finances come into the show. And most of all, I thank you for increases in listenership coming into the show. I mean, most of all, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom as a result of this great radio program. And they give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen, amen, and amen. And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 6. Excuse me, 5. Four. 1 Kings 4. Be talking about Solomon tonight. And I want to encourage you to be a part. Don't just sit there and be a mannequin. Be a part. Verse 1, chapter 4. King Solomon ruled over all Israel. And these were chief officials. And then he's son of you. And then there's all these names. Verse 7. Solomon also had 12 district governors over all Israel who supplied provisions for the king and the royal household. Each one had to provide supplies for 1 month of the year. These other names. And Hur, in the hill country of Ephraim, Decker, Mekaz, Shelazim, Veshimesh, and then more names. And then Mohe across to the, as well as the district of Arbab, and they walk in the cities of bronze gate bars. Abinadab, son of Ido in Keraman, Abahaz in Otami, he had married Basemath, daughter of Solomon, Baana, son of Tamai, in Asher, and in Aloth, Jehoshaphat, son of Parma, in Issachar, Shimei, son of Elah, in Benjamin, Gibar, son of Uri, in Gilead, to the country of Sidon, king of the Amorites, and the country of Og, king of Bashan. He was the only governor over the district. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, they were happy. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. Their countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. Solomon's daily provisions were 50 cores of fine flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 heads of stall-fed cattle, 20 of pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer, gazelles, ubuks, and choice fowl. And he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the river, from Tekoa to Gaza. And he had peace on all sides. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety, each man under his own vine and fig tree. And Solomon had 4,000 stalks of chariot horses with 12,000 horses. The district of officers, each in his months, supplied provisions for King Solomon and all who came to the king's table. And they saw to it that nothing was lacking. They also brought to the proper place their quotas of barley and straw and the chariot horses, for the chariot horses and the other horses. Verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight. He had a lot of insight and a breadth of understanding as measurement as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Hittite, and wiser than Heman, Calob, and Hada, the sons of Medal, and his fame spread to all of the surrounding nations. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that flows out of walls. He also taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. The men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. I'm going to read 5 and then we're going to talk about this. When Hiram, king of Tyre, heard that Solomon had been anointed king to succeed his father David, he sent his envoys to Solomon because he had always been on friendly terms with David. Solomon sent back this message to Hiram. You know that because of the wars waged against my father David from all sides, he could not build a temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord put his enemies under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. And there is no adversary or disaster. I intend, therefore, to build a temple in the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David, when he said, your son, whom I will put on this throne in your place, he will build the temple for my name. I give orders that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. My men will work for yours, and I will pay you for your men whatever wages you set. You know that we have no one so skilled in filling timber as the Sidonians. When Hiram heard Solomon's message, he was greatly pleased, and he said, praise be to the Lord today, for he has given David a wise son to rule over this great nation. So Hiram sent word to Solomon, I have received the message you sent me and will do all you want in providing the cedar and wine logs. My men will haul them down from Lebanon to the sea, and I will float them in raft to sea, to the place that you specify. There I will separate them, and you can take them away. And you are to grant my wish by providing food for my royal household. In this way, Hiram kept Solomon supplied with all the cedar and pine logs that he wanted. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, in addition to 20,000 baths of pressed olive oil. Solomon continued to do this for Hiram year after year, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, just as he had promised him. There were peaceful relations between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. King Solomon conscripted laborers from all Israel, 20,000 men, sent them off to Lebanon in shifts of 10,000 a month, so that they spent 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 20,000 carriers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hills, as well as 3,300 foremen who supervised the project and directed the workmen. At the king's command, they removed from the quarry large blocks of quality stone to provide a foundation of 1,000 stones for the temple. The craftsmen of Solomon and Hiram and the men of Gilgal cut and prepared the timber and stone for the building of the temple. So, David had been king over Israel for many years, and she did a lot of great things for Israel. And she had battles to fight. Of course, before the kingship, of course, he had to deal with Goliath. Then he had to deal with the lion. He had to deal with the bear. And God was with him through all that. Then he became king. And other than the one sin he committed, for the most part, he was very good. He was a very good king. He did a lot of great things. But because of all the wars and such, he did not get to build the temple. So Solomon decided to build the temple, the house of the Lord. But, I mean, and Solomon was given much wisdom from the Lord. It wasn't just something that he was just given by somebody, maybe as a Christmas present or something, I don't know. A birthday present, kingship present. But he was given wisdom from the Lord. And he was wise. But God had blessed him and his nation with peace. Because at that time, they didn't have enemies on any side. Before, while David was there, a lot of the time they were fighting in wars. And it wasn't always pretty. But Israel started to not obey the Lord all the time. And so some things started happening that wasn't so pretty. And Solomon, he was a wise guy. Just because you're the wisest, you're super wise, doesn't mean that you're always right. And people came from all different countries, all around the world at the time. Why? To hear the wisdom of Solomon. To hear from him, to hear what he had to say. If they had issues, they would come to him, and he would tell them what to do. And what is it always right? No, not always. A lot of times he was. But later on, Solomon got off track. And wasn't always, you know, listening to the voice of God. And he found himself in trouble later on. And yes, he had all these different government officials. He appointed them. Because in that day, in that country, the king appointed the governors. It wasn't like what we have here, where we elect a president, and then we also elect governors for our states. It's different than that. And so, like I said, he appointed governors for the lands in Israel. But you say, what's so important about this? Well, just because you're wise and make wise decisions doesn't always mean it's led by the Lord. Because there's man's wisdom. Don't do this, don't do that. Watch this, avoid that. Some of it might be good, but what about this? When money's down, maybe you shouldn't tithe. Maybe you shouldn't give. And different things. Maybe you shouldn't do it. And so it's not just about having wisdom. There's godly wisdom. And when I was younger, my mom used to tell me and Ray both. And then my dad would tell us. And they still do. And they'll tell me, right, you just have to use wisdom. You have to follow wisdom. Specifically, like find out how the Lord would do it. Wisdom and fear are two very different things. I mean, it's one thing to take precautions and do this and you name a different situation. And there's the different precautions you should take, and then this will happen or that will happen. But then there's fear. Don't act in fear. Act in the wisdom of the Lord. So even with what's going on right now, there's things that we may do that are wise. Wash your hands. 20 seconds. And now we got government officials in that telling us to wash our hands. Now you can't go to the store without queuing over the loudspeakers. Wash your hands. Can you? See? And pretty soon, on the radio thing, I can just hear it. They'll start playing this kiddie song that I heard on in Joanne's car on the XM satellite radio when Jacob was like 3. He was like, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Remember hearing something like that once? Maybe, maybe not. It was on some kid's XM satellite radio station. For all you know, soon they'll start playing that in Myers. Watch. They just might. And that would be the only... But that to say, there are certain things like that. You know, wash your hands. You know, don't sneeze in someone's face. And different things like that. But then they want to shut every... They want to shut down everything, including the church. And... Oh, by the way, what you say, well, Miracle Man, if you've been living under a rock and you're wondering, well, why'd they shut the church down? Oh, it's about a virus. Let me tell you. It's not about a virus. About one world government. And they used this as an excuse. And part of why we have to pray. And I'm leaving this alone after this, but I just want to say there's wisdom and then there's overreach, like what they've done. This overreach is not wise. Wise is, you know, making sure you're clean, make sure you stay home if you're sick, make sure you, all that kind of stuff. And it goes that way in life. And let me tell you something else, Christian. You would be wise to once in a while pick up your Bible and read it. Yeah. Don't say you believe in it and read it once a week or once every 3 weeks or whatever. You say you believe in the Bible, why do you always leave your Bible at your church? I'm asking for a friend. He said that once. He said, I'm asking for a friend. But anyhow, don't just say you believe in something and don't do it. Hey, it's wise to have faith in God. If you're believing for God to do something, to move on your behalf, to move on behalf of your country, to move. Like I have faith right now in God that he's doing some things right now. And he's shifting this whole situation. You know, and I think that in the end, I think we're going to see a great awakening in the church. You say, what about, you may say, Miracle Man, what about what's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to, well, if the church votes, if the church stands up, God's people pray, then all this will be in God's hands. And by the way, including the economy. And I think God is going to do some great things. But you do have to pray. You do have to believe God. You have to trust God. And for those of you who sit there and think, oh, this is an act of God. No, it's not. But these insurance companies will call hurricanes and different catastrophes an act of God. Have you noticed that? That's what they'll do. They'll call it an act of God. And think about that, and I wonder why. Many times, you know, if a hurricane goes through, a tornado goes through, that's nature. Or it can be the enemy. By the enemy, I don't mean a human, I mean the devil. But God will not destroy your house. I have more, and I have trust in the Lord. And so, I was, like I was saying a minute ago, you got to have wisdom given to you by the Lord. Because there's earthly wisdom, which Solomon had, and Solomon had wisdom from the Lord. But later, he decided to go about his own a bit and he wasn't always doing right in the eyes of the Lord. David did end up doing right. And David is one of my, what I would call a Bible hero, because he had to fight a lot of adversity, including Goliath, which was a Philistine giant. He had to fight the lion. He had to fight the bear. And he won. Then they had to fight the Philistines and the Amalekites. And God was there with them. And I always think about that verse where it says, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. That goes to show you, God was with David. He was also with Solomon, because he gave Solomon all that wisdom. And knowledge. And that was an instinct, by the way, given to him by the Lord. It wasn't just something that he developed later on. To where he was like, okay, I'm king now. Now I'm going to be wise. Gave him that. And like I said, people came from all over the earth. And then in Matthew and Luke, it says, you know, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear his wisdom. And behold, one greater than Solomon is here. Referring to Jesus. And then he said, and then about Jonah, it says there, for the people repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, one greater than Jonah is here. And you know, Jonah, the first time, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Teach these people. Preach to them. Talk to them. Deal with them. First time Jonah's like, gets on the ship, pays his fare to go the other way to Tarshish, which is the other way. This would be like, but then he decided to go to Tarshish, and on the way there, storm came, and they're asking Jonah, what's going on? Why is there the storm? And they tell him, pray to your God. And then he gets thrown over into the sea, eaten by the fish. I mean, he gets put in the whale's mouth. He's there for 3 days and three nights. And he's praying to the Lord, and he repents to God for what he had done. Then he comes out, because the Lord tells him to spit him up. And he gets brought back up under the dry ground by the fish. Then he actually goes to Nineveh, as he should have done the first time. He went to Nineveh, and the people repented. People got saved, and it was very good. And it was really powerful what God did there in Nineveh, because Nineveh had become a wicked place before that. That's why God said, Jonah, I want you to go there. For whatever reason, he didn't want to. I don't know why. Maybe Tarshish had a golf course. Maybe there was a football game on, and he had tickets too, and he was going there. I know that's where Vaughn would be going, right? With me, maybe he had, maybe he had tickets. Maybe he had, you know, a nice full stadium full of fans. Loud. But no, they didn't have football yet. Didn't say why he went to Tarshish instead. For whatever reason, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He was running from the Lord. That's what. But like I said, you got to have wisdom. If you have the wisdom of God, he'll guide you. But you have to listen to him. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to your spirit man. Pay attention to what it's trying to tell you. And if something's not feeling right in your spirit, maybe that means you shouldn't do it. And so, you've got to pay attention to the voice of the Lord and what the Lord tells you to do, so that you don't just do it your own way or decide it's my way or the highway. Because some people are like that. They basically say, my way or the highway. And by the highway, I don't mean, you know, I-75 either. him. But, you know, Solomon, like I said, there were some things that he did that he really shouldn't have done. And we're going to look tomorrow night at the temple and stuff. No, we'll skip the temple and we'll go further into his life and what all he did tomorrow. As we're dealing with Solomon a bit right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you that we would have wisdom, your wisdom, Lord God, that we would pay attention to what your Spirit is trying to tell us, and that we would live for you, and that we would have your Spirit on the inside of us. There's one Spirit that operates in us, Spirit of the Most High God. And I take a moment to pray right now over anyone who is hearing my voice and does not know my Jesus. I pray that they would commit their life to you right now, Lord, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. And they would contact me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. NFL, well, now, for sports, the NFL will release their schedule in a couple of, on Thursday. Right now, of note, as of right now today, the plan is the season would start on September 10th as planned with 17 weeks with 16 games per team. Super Bowl on February 7th, just as planned. Now, this is fluid. This could all change. Will it? Who knows? Depends on what happens. Their plan is to have fans in the stands, to which I agree. I think you will see that. I know I personally, as a fan to a degree, I kind of need to hear that. You say, what do you mean, need? Just add something to it when you hear all that big loud roar, especially when the game is starting. And it's getting all loud in there and stuff. I love that. But I do think you're going to see fans in the stands. And, however, the big change right now, no international games. Jacksonville is going to play a couple of their home games in London. Not going to happen. Falcons were going to play a home game in London. Not going to happen. There was going to be a certain game in Mexico City, off the table. So that means all the games will be stateside. Which to the NFL, I say, good call. And people say, what about a second wave? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be a second wave. I think God's going to do something. They're going to come out with something really quick. And I don't think it'll be relevant for very long. But football, I do think it'll be back. And I think it's going to be good. You say, I feel more confident about having a season than what I do about knowing who's going to win the Super Bowl. And don't it, with all the shakeups that have happened with trades and new draft picks and things of that nature, even Vaughn is saying it is making it very hard to tell at this point, isn't it? But this is going to be harder to tell than what it's been in a lot of years. And that has nothing to do with Rona at all. It's just the it's just because of all the trades and stuff, you know? And that makes it so hard to tell. Will the Patriots win it? You never know. What do the Lions do? Just to wait and see. Depends on if they can stay healthy. NBA is discussing pushing the start of the season back to December, or maybe even early January, as there are reports speculating right now. I mean, there is a possibility that they could start in early July without fans, maybe having some fans in August or September, maybe. And then in December, January, with I don't know if I'll have some fans or full house or what they'll do then. We'll have to wait and see. But that's what they're looking at right now. Baseball has not made up their mind yet what they're going to do. Now, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.